Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Well, we are back off of the bye week, idle week, open week, whatever you want to call it. We are back.
Needed week.
Yeah. But we weren't idle. We were not.
We were not.
Yeah.
The show was. We were not.
and the football team, but they've kind of been idle for a year, haven't they?
About two of them.
Anywho.
Yeah, we've been busy taking advantage of the credentials we obtained.
Mm-hmm. You make it sound like we stole some. Like we had some great heist. That is not the case.
We're recording live right now, aren't we? My bad. Redo.
Yeah. Back it up. Okay.
So, that was good times, though, man.
It was good times. Let's just jump into that.
More.
Yep. For the folks that don't know, we have joined on and we are covering the women's basketball team this year. We were able to attend Oral Roberts and Belmont, I believe. Those were the two that we've gotten to so far. And we haven't been able to talk too much about it on the show, but just really, folks got to get out there and see this team. It's a fun team. It's a top 25 team, and ain't no doubt about that. I mean, it's probably they're probably a top 10 team after it's all said and done. I mean,
towards the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe so. We're going to dive more into the SEC side of the women's basketball to be able to get a little bit more of a analytical view, if you will, but mm-hmm. I see no reason that they can be. I'm going to name drop right off the bat this freshman, Michaela Daniels. She is the real deal.
Absolutely.
She's got the total package, good point guard, like a true point guard. She's a scorer, distributor, real good on defense. The whole defense, just a lot like the men's team, active hands everywhere with the ball. Good thing about this year's team, not that it was so much last year. I mean, they did have Malika Monk last year and, Tolfree and the other guard's name escapes my mind, but Dungy doesn't have to carry the load as much as she did last year,
right,
which is a big help. So
no,
like
definitely.
You said, people need to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is an entertaining team to watch.
And it's, you know, it's cheap. I mean, let's be real about it. I mean, it's cheap entertainment, and it's good. It's a great environment, very family-friendly. I love that they have the little ones out there at halftime, whatever, you know, wherever they find those folks. But
yeah,
they're out there
well,
in
they
their
had a,
pickup games well, or basically, I don't know, it looked like a little scrimmage for the little ones. So.
That was Oral Roberts' game. That was some kind of All-Stars.
Well, they had it at the Belmont game, too.
Well, that was a warm-up.
Was that
the Alma All-Stars 4th, 5th, and 6th grade out there just doing layup warm-up drills, which is still cool for the kids.
Yeah.
But the Oral Roberts game, they had a inter-squad scrimmage. They said something about championship winning.
Yeah.
Something for that age. But and then, of course, the little girls doing the whole putting on the players' jerseys on the way down, have to dribble back and like
I saw
100
you,
times
I saw you fast forward in a few years and seeing maybe a daughter or two down there.
Well, one of them's definitely going to make it. One of them might jump across that line and take the other one out if she's about to lose the way she's acting. But, yeah, absolutely. She'd be all about that. But overall, like you said, we think they could be – I don't know about top 10. I'll give them top 15 for sure. But another friend of ours, Leo, thinks that they're going to be a possibly Sweet 16 team this year, which we can definitely see. So it's exciting, and I'm excited that we get to talk about it on here because we're definitely, you know, as the football tapers off and that comes up, we're going to be able to cover the men's and women's pretty good, and it's going to be, by all appearances so far, entertaining and not near as sad as it's been for the football season.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard. We've got, you know, the interim tag on the football side with Barry Lunny. We're going into an LSU game, which typically in an LSU game, no matter how the season's gone, you always feel like you have a chance. But A different LSU team.
To look better.
Yeah, we have a chance to look better going in. Last I saw, and I believe we'll find out here in a little bit. It's on the rundown, but 42 point dogs.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to look at. That is,
and
for
that's
sure.
Not it. That went down.
Yeah, so
it opened at 46, right?
Yeah. So, looking at that, moving on to the football side of stuff, and we'll have plenty of time to touch on men's basketball, women's basketball. Just hang on for a few more weeks. We still got, you know, we'll sprinkle in some basketball recruiting, baseball recruiting. We got to give a shout out to them for third ranked class
up
in the country. At this point, it's not a rebuilding, it's reloading, as the Twitter handle has said, or the baseball Twitter has.
You're right.
But with this football team, man, it's a holding pattern, right? Everybody's waiting to see who the coach is. I feel like there's not much more to say on this stuff. If you do have questions, you can hit us up at JRD Hogcast. But for right now, find out who it is. And
I mean, we can
we can drop names and talk about these other names that we're hearing, but it's just the same old, same old. And you guys hear enough of that, I would assume.
Probably so. I did want to touch on something that did come through the news cycle this past week about Houston Nutt.
I figured you would want to talk about that.
Well, it's being kind of, it was released as if Hunter Yurecek called him.
There was definitely some clickbait articles. Definitely.
Yeah, but he cleared it up saying that it was John Fagg, the assistant AD, and he's just touching out, and then Nutt even says here in the quote, John Fagg, the assistant AD, is calling me just to lay out and kind of touch base deal, nothing big. So, if anything, I mean, he's not been too shy about kind of being playing an advisory role to anybody that's willing to give him a call.
Right.
And that's not just Arkansas related. That's student athletes across the country, coaches across the country, so on and so forth. And as you know, as the listeners know, I am on board if he was to come back. But as of right now, nothing major.
Yeah, that's going to be a Houston Nutt update right there.
That's it for now until we name him the new Arkansas head coach.
Somebody come get your man. Somebody come get him.
But in bigger news, KJ is number one on the depth chart.
Or
John Stephen Jones is. Or Nick Starkle is.
No, I'm just kidding. I think that's where the horse stopped. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, okay.
Jack Lindsey, man. For the kid. I mean,
believe it, right?
Starting holder. Got that, right?
He did. Yeah, he's on that. But you think it's going to be KJ?
Take the first snap.
Yeah.
Or. Yeah. No, it should be KJ to start it out. He went into that press conference and into all these press conferences that he's had this whole game or prep week and all of that, basically saying what he did. I mean, he hasn't deviated from what he said. So, I mean, we're getting a straight up answers from Lunny, and I think Lunny understands where he's at in his role, and he has no reason to talk through his teeth like the last guy. So.
Right. But we do have, I know you and I've discussed it. It's all over Twitter. I don't think anybody realistically sees Lenny as, I mean, he doesn't even have enough games to try to, you know, audition for the job, if you will. But I do think there
is. Takes one. For Razorbacks, it takes one, and it's this one.
I mean, if one could get you a job, absolutely, it's this week. But yeah. There's always, no matter who the coach is, no matter how bad the team is, we do always seem to play up for the most part. But it ain't happening. But there is a lot of people, you and me included, producer, friends within our circle, that think Lunny will bring a little extra juice to this team. I think they will play better than they have all year. If anything, not to get into the whole rumor mill stuff, but just the players feeling free. Like, you know that they, I guess we don't know, but we have a good idea that they know what to expect. They know what their role is. There's not this back and forth, who's the quarterback, who's not the quarterback. I'm sure the game plan's probably going to be better because, I mean, was there some tension there between Joe and freaking Chad? I mean, you know, it just – I think they will look better, and that's relative to who they're playing. So,
and in terms of the play calling, which we have asked about in the past, we've been told that it's going to be a collective effort, which I kind of got that feeling near the last few games because, like I said, I actually saw Chad Morris with a bigger card. He used to have, you know, like a little basically note card, and then he had the actual play card. So we'll see. We'll see who gets credit for it. Imagine anything remotely towards success is going to be Barry Lunny getting credit for it. Anything remotely close to, you know, bad? Sorry, Joe. You're the scapegoat.
But Lunny's,
and so is
Lunny's going to take it either way.
Yep.
You can't hide it from John. Like, Chavis, he was a defensive guy. He is a defensive guy. The only reason there's a little bit of flip-flop between the offense is because we don't know who the hell is calling plays.
Yep.
The last few weeks. So, Chavis is going to catch it no matter what, and it's not going to be good. I mean, Joe Burrow, those receivers, just nasty.
So I saw, I don't know who it is, sorry, I'm not going to credit you, but I saw on the Twitter machine someone tweeted out, "We made Ty Story look like Joe Burrow. Who are we going to make Joe Burrow look like?"
My homie.
Oh, man. Don't be definitely statuesque, the performance that will probably happen against us. And
we've talked about it a little bit going into the bye week. Why did they have to do us like that and make it nighttime?
Well, here's the deal. I really, when that came out, that it was going to be a night primetime game, I was like, why? And then you really start digging into it. And yes, we are, unfortunately, as Arkansas, in a cupcake territory. And right now it is cupcake week for these big teams. There's only one top 25 matchup, and it's a top 10 matchup, and that's Ohio State versus Penn State. So if you're looking for marquee, that's where it's at in terms of nationwide. And then you dive into the SEC, and it just gets weird. Like, you're trying to figure out acronyms. I feel for these guys that do have to call these games because you're going to be bringing out all kinds of stories and side talk, and you're going to be trying to get all of that story to fit into those four quarters.
Right.
I mean,
but diving into it or not, when the schedule was made, we didn't know we would be a cupcake.
Right. Well, I mean, the idea behind, because, like, when they build the schedule, they don't pick the times right off the bat.
Right.
With the exception to the Black Friday game, but hey, we might even be losing that spot because we suck so bad.
Well, oh, yeah? Is that word on the street?
Yeah. CBS don't want to pick up garbage, so, like, if you can't make it to the game, at least watch it. I know it's painful, but, you know.
Well, we'll watch it no matter what.
It's good to be, for the future, and revenue and all that good stuff, it's good to be in that spot, and kind of personally, I really like that spot because I usually can make that one all the times.
Yeah. So. Well, the thing about it is, no matter what time of day, I mean, I think it just makes it a little bit worse, but the 40-plus points isn't that far away from kind of what I thought it would be. I figured we were going to be looking at high 30s anyway.
There's only
46 is a little disrespectful.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. In the SEC, there's only three SEC matchups. Texas A&M versus Georgia, Tennessee versus Missouri, and us versus LSU. Everyone else, cupcakes. Like, diabetic coma cupcakes we're talking here.
Well, it's that time of year. I mean, everybody's kind of getting there. Again, this game shouldn't be that way, but it just happens to work out that way. But everybody's getting ready for rivalry week, and I just butchered that. I never can say that right.
Yeah.
It doesn't come out.
You tried to roll with it. I mean, it is a tongue twister, and I just stay away from it. We just call it hate week, right?
Hate week, yeah. That huge battle line rivalry, that in itself isn't easy to say if you try to say it 10 times fast or something like that.
Well, you know you have to put the sponsor in there.
Shelter, right?
Who gives a crap? It's insurance of some sort. They're all schmucks.
Somebody's digging in for some change no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything you hope to see from this?
Juice. I mean, he's again, I could just keep going he, using pronouns. Lunny has talked about we're going to play the best football this year, best game, that whole deal. And that's what you want to see, right? Best football of the year should be Saturday against LSU. What we're hoping for, see some kind
of
juice.
It's so hard to say that.
We got
to
peek into the future as much as we can. I mean, it's going to be tough to watch this game. But I'm a schmuck, and I'm going to do it, just like so many other people. And I'm, don't want to look ahead, but I'm probably going to pick us to cover.
You hope. And that's solely based on the fact that their starters should not be in long.
Oh, I mean, especially after, the stuff with Tua. And you know what? Let's touch on that.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're talking, it seems like a popular thing now in sports. It's definitely apparently been on my mind. And there are key words, load management, right?
Yeah.
You don't see it too much in terms of football, but we're seeing it a lot in the NBA and becoming a narrative on that side of things. But now you have Tua going down with what many are dubbing a Bo Jackson-like injury, similar injury, that is.
Good read.
So I'll just be straight up with it. I replied to a local. You want me to do this? Should I do this?
Right, go for it, man. All right. What it is.
I replied to a local morning host, sports host, and because he said something about having a Bo Jackson injury and that he didn't see him as a first-round talent anymore. And so I just got done reading a nice little article that was well put together, I believe, by those LarryBrownSports.com, whatever. Anywho, cited sources. One of those sources was Laura Rutledge, who directly talked to the doctor that performed the surgery, has a verified check mark, is an SEC Network correspondent.
Pretty much an ESPN beast at this point.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to take her word in terms of Alabama sports over NWA. Local sports guy. So, reading that article, and they do mention that it had similarities to Bo Jackson, but the key deal there was that Bo Jackson continued to play on it. Tua had medical treatment within seconds. He got the support that he needed. He was getting airlifted out before the damn game was over.
Yep.
And he had surgery within 48 hours. So, yes, technically they are similar injuries. However, modern medicine, modern advancements in terms of technology and all of that good stuff that we take advantage of in the United States of America is completely different than when Bo Jackson had it. And the key thing here is that
the key thing,
the injury was played on. And that's what the article is.
By Bo.
So, if, and again, I wasn't trying to start nothing, but you want to come at me and say similar injuries, or in quotations, put similar injuries, dot good read, and then do a cryptic tweet after that?
That didn't make a whole lot of sense.
It's pretty petty for a professional. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it. I'm going to hold
it. Man, you handle things so much better than I do.
I'm going to hold it. Yeah, I don't.
Speaking of professional, you're much more professional in this than I am.
I don't try to give Luke too much work. I think I did say a D in there, but I also don't think that one should be bleeped. But whatever.
Yeah, let's hear from our listeners on that. Does D need to be bleeped?
Well, we will figure out right now.
I don't find that too offensive.
At JRD Hogcast Twitter. Obviously I look at it, so.
Yeah, right. Well, you didn't do that through ours, though.
Oh, yeah, no. I hold that for the personal, because I don't hide behind anything.
That's right. It has your real cute kid's face, and then there's yours.
Yep.
for your profile picture or avatar, whatever the hell they call it on that thing. But the game management's thing that sort of kind of led into what you just said, that you brought that up because of Joe Burrow. Are you thinking that that's might be where they're looking at?
Oh, if it gets out of hand, you have to definitely think about that, because if you have two, basically the top quarterbacks in the SEC go down next to each other week by week because of stuff like this and blowout games, it's not going to look good. It's definitely going to get the people chirping. There was already the people chirping that we're talking about. And, you know, how much is that education worth? He's given up millions of dollars because they were writing Tua off. His history hasn't been written, or his future hasn't been written. Like,
no,
there's still plenty to do.
Do you agree with the timing that he was left in, Tua, in that game?
I mean, that's tough, you know, on that kind of stuff.
Hindsight's always 2020.
Hindsight's always 2020. They were probably getting the plan together. I believe I heard something that Mac Jones was warming up during that drive, essentially. But you don't know if he just got bored. Like, people just toss the ball around, whatever. But it might have been a, you know, you get the first half, I get the second half kind of deal. But Nick Saban just trying to win a game.
It makes sense, too, because Saban says he was left in for working on two-minute drills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is important. It still was the first half. So I don't think that – obviously, looking back, it's like, oh, man, I should have pulled him a drive earlier or whatever. But I don't really disagree with it now.
You can't start coaching like that, though. I mean,
yeah, and Saban said that. I mean, a lot of people blew up Saban because of that, but I mean, it's a job, and these players understand what they sign up for, and that's sort of why I have a little bit of issue with big league guys kind of talking about the CT stuff,
yeah,
and trying to sue for it. The older generation, I understand, but this new age stuff, you knew what you were doing.
I mean, it's out there.
It doesn't matter.
It's out there. I mean, this is a worry from, you know, when my little one starts strapping on some pads whenever that time comes, that's known stuff now. Well, there's plenty of information, plenty of research on all of this. You have former players donating their brains to this kind of research.
Right.
So that should be an educated choice between you and your parents when you're starting this. Like I said, pretty much at the peewee level and on up. And it might hurt the game, but it's all.
And that's why I think the education is so valuable that always seems to be looked over when it comes to paying the players and everything. North Carolina did in basketball. We talked about this on one of the way earlier episodes. You know, they made a whole degree?
No, it was a fake course. Whole course that was basically okay. In a janitor's closet.
Literally, that was the office, right? That was the room number, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, play there. Play, especially if you're talented enough, play for the aspirations of the pros and all sports across the board, but use that free education, too. So, if something does happen, you know, if it was a career-ending injury, he's got the degree to go back on.
Yep.
And I think Tua's pretty smart. He seems like a pretty well-read kid, and I don't think he's one of those that isn't studying, but there are a lot that are there.
And you also keep in mind, when he's still, you know, picking up this notoriety, they're going to have an insurance policy on him. Obviously, that's private matters and stuff of that nature,
right.
But at this level, and any, you know, body that's got a chance to go pro, Leonard Fournette had it. Joe Burrow probably should have one, and Tua definitely should. Both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. Speaking of that, you love the NCAA.
Absolutely. Now we're getting on transfer portal now. As soon as you said NCAA, didn't you?
No. I can't. Was it Wiseman? Wiseman, Memphis.
Oh yes. Okay.
And yeah. Penny Hardaway, but I do know what you're talking about, the transfer portal, and that will definitely be talked about.
Yeah.
But Penny Hardaway paid $11,500 in moving costs for this highly touted recruit, something Wiseman. I apologize, I don't have that up in front of me. But
Andy will probably help us out on that one.
It is in his home turf. So he gets investigated, gets suspended till like the season starts, basically, the hard games or whatever. But the NCAA fines him, and this is hilarious, $11,500 to donate to a charity of his choice. Here's my question to you, Dylan. Where does a 17-year-old high school kid, I'm sorry, I guess technically college now, come up with $11,500 to pay off a charity or to pay a charity?
I don't know. I
wonder. Where would he obtain that money, though?
I don't know. See, here's the deal. It's gonna be it's gonna be a circle. This is what you're setting yourself up for, NCAA. Here, hey man, they're fining me. I'm gonna need $11,500. Oh, I got you.
Penny's gonna be like, well, I mean, I agreed to $11,500, not $23,000, but I mean, if that's what it takes to keep you on team, then here you go.
Here's what you do, okay? So it's a charity of his choice. I'm sure they have a Memphis Tiger foundation, just like the Arkansas Razorbacks have a foundation. So this circle will happen. So he donates to the Memphis Tigers foundation, and then it just comes back around. But here's the deal. All joking aside, folks know Memphis as just being a place like this. Like,
Memphis is the Hillary Clinton of politics.
Jeez. I'm not about
that. Everybody knows what's happening.
I'm not about this life, so any of that stuff you can direct towards Jordan. But, yeah, moving to sports and stuff.
This is a pantsuit lady.
Oh, man.
Here we are. So anyway, today in Politico. I'm kidding.
Stop it. He's trying to get me out of my element. He's got me flustered. I apologize to everybody. Where were
anyway,
we?
Anyway, the circle. Yeah, boosters.
Memphis bunch of cheetahs, and it probably goes back to Cal Poly. So.
Oh, absolutely. He set up the foundation. What are you talking about? So. Calipari, but that man,
you think Penny's calling and is like, hey, dude,
what was the combination for that safe?
Man,
I forgot.
What was that book? You told me there was a little book laid out to how not to get caught by the NCAA. Oh, it's called Pay Them Off Too. That's where I messed up.
It's called Leave the School in a Dumpster Fire and Move to Another One.
Yeah, exactly. And then get paid.
Getting real good paid. So,
I mean, hang on. Sorry. I'm going tangent, but hey, that's where we're at for Arkansas. Put yourself in Kentucky's shoes right now. I mean, are you happy with the basketball performance? I mean,
okay, so you're fixing to segue into some stuff that I've been wanting to talk about.
Return on search.
So,
yeah, return on investment on this kind of stuff. Like, yeah, he's doing this one and done, getting guys to the league and everything, but what's he doing for the university? And I'm definitely naive on the Kentucky side because I don't give a crap.
Pissed on him is what you meant to say.
Yeah, so are you happy as a Kentucky fan just to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, we make the tournament constantly, but we'll get bounced out, you know, round two?
Let's ask our listeners because here's the deal, and this is the segue here. Mike Leach.
Okay.
Are you happy with 7-5, 8-4 seasons?
It seems like a lot of people are. I mean, at this
point. I don't understand it.
At this point in time, 8-5, or, you know, 7-5, 8-4, all that good stuff, it's looking real nice, isn't it?
Until it happens.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you have Andy on the board, but he came back at us, or at me, probably more specifically over the last episode when I told him his Mike Norvell idea is stupid, and he compared it to I said, you're happy with this guy losing to Temple, but us losing to San Jose State pisses you off, and he tried to equate those two. Those two are equal for the where they're at on the field. So I don't understand these people wanting Mike Leach. Mike Leach's best season was 11-2 with Texas Tech. That was the year that he beat Texas. Great game. Love that game. One of the best games I've watched. But that was it. That was the peak of his career.
Mm-hmm.
If you get Mike Leach here in the SEC, in the SEC West, we're going to be 6-6, 7-5. We might peak at 8-4. Why the hell would you want this? And you went after one morning show. I'm going to go after the other. When they were on, well, a specific guy was on there saying, it's not like we're hiring this guy for the long term. We're going to get him in to set the foundation for another guy. What? How, Dylan, I want to hire you for this job, but you're not the guy.
We want you to set up a set the foundation for this.
Just put in all the hard work, recruiting and everything. Get everything ready for the guy we really want. Do you mind? That's stupid. So we're going to get Mike Leach. Everybody's going to be excited. 3 years from now, we're going to be sitting here talking about the same shit.
Yep.
Because they're going to be mad instead of about 2-10 and 4-8 seasons. They're going to be mad about 7-5 and 8-4 seasons. Because guess what? We're going to lose to Bama. We're going to lose to Auburn. We're going to lose to LSU every single year under Mike Leach. Ain't no other way around it. Because Saban's not going anywhere. Saban is the ageless wonder. He's there for another, I say personally, 5 years at minimum.
And also
Herman Hubert over there, Orgeron, he's there. That's LSU's guy for the long haul. And no matter who Auburn gets, they're going to be competitive. Is that what you want?
That's not what I want. But and Leach has a really bad habit of having a nasty loss. Besides 11, too, because, I mean, I think one was OU, and then I can't remember what the other loss was that year.
The 11-2 year?
Yeah.
Ole Miss.
Anyway, he's got it, like, this year, right now. Look at his team right now with
– Excuse me.
He's definitely established. That's all his guys and everything of that sort. So go to what's recent because that's – what you should be looking at. We shouldn't be looking at a Texas Tech 11-2 team. So because then he went, I think, 4-8 after that, maybe? I can't remember.
It was bad.
So.
I mean, he got fired, right?
UCLA. Well, how he left Texas Tech, that was crap. And that should kind of, no matter the theories around the whole deal on that, because it was a ESPN son and maybe, wasn't getting treated right. He got thrown into a supply shed or whatever it may be. All that aside, they fired him with cause, people. So we're gonna dig up Bobby Petrino's contract that says we can't hire people that got fired with cause.
It's a damn shame that had to circulate. My God.
Why don't we look at these other universities that have fired guys and possibly fired guys with cause? Shouldn't that kind of be in the same boat? Like,
people want Hugh Freeze,
people,
man.
People want Hugh Freeze. People want Art Briles. Are you seriously wanting this?
I haven't heard the Art Briles. People want Art Briles?
When did we come last chance you for coaches? That's not right.
And not the same thing, but the same realm of not staying, Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
Why the hell do you think Lane Kiffin is going to come here? And I do actually think Lane Kiffin can come here and do some good things. But if he put together a couple 8-9 win seasons, he's gone. He's gone to the next biggest thing. And I don't want that. I want us to find a guy. That's why I'm kind of sold on Nutt, to be honest with you. Because Nutt would be here until he either got fired or he's like, man, I'm getting too old for this. It's time to start looking. He would pull a Bob Stoops.
Yep.
Hopefully with a little bit more heads up. But he would pull a Bob Stoops. And I'm not saying it has to be Houston Nutt, but I want it to be a guy. I think the average, well, maybe above average with Arkansas fans, but the average fan that understands football, understands how to build programs, you want that with a coach. That's why I'm sold on Musselman right now too, because I feel like this is a very good, happy job for Musselman.
Mm-hmm.
And stop with the damn Arkansas connections. Who gives a shit? Why do they have to be connected to Arkansas?
Some of the greatest people that influenced Arkansas didn't really have ties. Outside folks. In terms of where they were born and all that good stuff. So, yeah. I mean, John McDonald, who is considered probably the greatest coach in Arkansas history, all sports combined, I mean, got national championships out the ears because of John McDonald. Was from Ireland, people. So there's that. And one thing I saw that was kind of interesting is Norvell might not even be interested in the Arkansas job.
But he's got Arkansas ties, bro.
Apparently he, well.
Andy, your boy wants to go to Florida State.
Well, rocking some cornrows for Central Arkansas doesn't mean you have Arkansas Razorback ties. I mean, it's kind of like Blake Anderson with how the fact that his name, yes, we mentioned him on here, but that was just because we were mentioning names that would have been thrown out.
Oh, that you name, yeah, come on.
And we talked about that one. Blake Anderson, he's sitting really good. He's winning championships at that level, Sun Belt Conference championships, but he's been treated so well, everything that he's gone through this last year. And, I mean, honestly, he's taking shots at Arkansas impressors, and I know it's, you know, all good fun.
Always easy when we're down.
It's, you know, it's all good fun with him, but I think he genuinely loves being the Red Wolves coach. Can't talk about if he likes Jonesboro. But,
yeah. Right. Who does? Yeah. But that's the thing, man. Kind of, like I said, went off the handles there with that, but it's just I don't understand – other than just the name, again, Lane Kiffin be a high-profile hire. Of course he would. Lane Kiffin wouldn't stay here. The Mike Leach thing, because he does good press conferences, yeah, would be a high-profile.
The PR thing has always irritated me.
Yeah, so he would be a high-profile hire. But do you want high-profile hires, or do you want a hire that's going to get you ultimately to where we want to be? And we, obviously, being in the Final Four would be fantastic. But really, we just want to be in contention for the SEC West right now.
I'm still on this, but you think Alabama hired Saban because of his press conferences?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, come on. The fact that I heard that just is still so baffling to me.
PR thing?
Yeah, he's entertaining. He would be instant PR. And like, I understand, but in today's age, social media, all that, that's where you need to be at. Like, I am so surprised, for whatever it's worth, that there isn't more universities actually doing stuff with TikTok. Because with all that being said, like, Vine was a huge deal, and I'm going to kind of go weird here, but Vine was a huge deal in terms of content and getting your reach and getting eyeballs. So
got a lot of people jobs.
Yeah. So, and you've gotten people that have, in terms of content makers, moved that over to the YouTube side and making millions of dollars. But the reason they're making millions of dollars is because there's millions of eyeballs watching this stuff. So
right.
Some of those eyeballs will be on TikTok. Some of those recruits will be on TikTok. And you can do a lot of cool stuff in terms of, you know, your practices and getting that out. So obviously, everyone wants to talk to Twitter game and all that kind of stuff, but eventually, some of this will move over to TikTok. I 100% believe that. I don't know necessarily how it will be, highlight reels or that whole deal, but...
So you are down for the PR?
No, but what I was saying on this is that there are other ways of bringing in a light to your university, no matter who your head coach is.
Like, if you think other avenues other than just being the coach. Okay.
Yeah, that's not for the coach to do. The coach isn't supposed to sit there and worry about that kind of stuff. He's supposed to put W's up, put the best team on the field, and not give a crap about that. That's why you have a whole marketing department, a whole communications department. Let them do that. Let him answer some questions at a press conference, however he wants. Whatever happens, happens. Move on. Win football games.
More than 7 would be cool.
Yeah. Well, win 7 next year, Lunny.
Well, yeah, Lunny. Hey, that's an interesting thing, too, though. If Yurchek can't find his guy this year, Lunny would have support for another year. I mean, that's...
It's better than the John L. Smith move if you're trying to find a stopgap.
Right, exactly.
But I mean,
that's exactly what I was about to say. There's no way it couldn't be better than freaking John L. Smith.
Yeah, but if you give John or if you give Lunny the reins.
Hey,
and
John L. Smith, it was a good press conference.
Yeah. If you give Lunny the reins and it's actually not a crazy idea in terms of the schedule that you're looking at next year, because the rebuild, there's still going to be a rebuild. There is foundational pieces to this
team.
It's
not as bad as it was.
It's not as big. It's going to be more on the defensive side, but you need to get a guy in. If you do go that route, he's got to be able to go into that transfer portal and get some quality guys. It's going to be filling up with these coaches, changes that are going to happen at the end of the year and all that good stuff. So you get a guy in, and I mean, you set the groundwork with Lunny and just kind of tell him, like, hey, you have this is your interview. Like, this year is your interview. You can do something. These two games don't matter this year. I mean, come on. No matter what Lunny does, fan base-wise, they're still going to be behind him. He's taken over a really terrible situation, but it had to be done. And, I'm not against the idea of letting him interview a little bit and getting kind of –
you got to see
– waiting to get the right guy or seeing if you already had the right guy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Just if I just don't want to make a Mike Leach hire. Like, I don't – or a Norvell. Sorry, Andy. I don't want that. So if you get done with this year and you get, your search finds a middle-tier guy as, like, the best guy, you don't have to do it.
Right.
I mean, you can – I don't know. I like that the firing took place when it did because it gave us time. It didn't put us in a Chad Moore situation. I like that it was done. I've always kind of been on board with the final four or three games to – give yourself an opportunity because Florida State or Rutgers, they did theirs quick. And not that Rutgers is going to pull some amazing name, it's Rutgers. But if that were a school like us or, LSU or whatever, because when LSU fired Miles with like five games left.
Yeah.
And that was Orgeron's interview.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that we all see how that's worked out now. But, it gives us an opportunity like that. That's why I wish maybe just a game or two sooner, since Morris decided not to fire any of his coordinators. I mean, Juracek knew what he was going to have to do, and now Lunny's up against the best team, in my opinion, one of the best teams in the past decade, as his first game as head coach. And then, Missouri is what Missouri is. It's a dang shame we didn't get Kelly Bryant. But, give him – if you can't find the guy, give him a year.
I mean, get the right guy, like I said, or see if you already have the right guy.
Do you have a – I'm not putting you on the spot. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to. But is there anybody that you're like, that's who realistically and you're happy with right now?
As a hire?
Yeah.
No. I'm so indecisive. I think if I had to list them, Les Miles is still on the one list for me.
Isn't that crazy we're saying that?
But
and I don't hate the Matt Campbell thing.
There are so many. There's so many contingencies on the Les Miles deal. Like, I'm sitting in these shoes because that's what we do, and I'm acting as if I'm the AD, which I'm not. I don't get to make the call. I don't get to be in the interview. But if I was doing the interview process, I would want to know, like, first question: who are some coordinators that you would be calling as soon as if we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And that
probably more specifically than anything right now, the way the team sits, defense.
Yep.
But it's weird saying that with Les Miles because that's the one thing that always held Les Miles back was his offense.
Yep.
But I think he would get there ideally and see what he has on the offensive side and understand Burks can't carry a team like your old Jefferson did.
Yep.
Like, you've got to get the ball to Burks.
Yep.
So, that, I don't know if I'm really arguing for offense or defense, but I think right now defense, because our defense is so bad.
Well, I mean, I love the idea of having a defensive-minded head coach that can assist on that side, because that side's going to need a lot more attention. Once you have the offense established, it's going to be more timing and cleaning up some stuff of that nature. So, that's where the coordinators are. Ed Orgeron is giving you the template here. Nick Saban gave you the template years ago, and he has revamped it. So Nick Saban was a little hard-nosed on his stuff, and then I think when he brought Lane Kiffin in, that's when he opened the doors to this newer style of football, or however you want to look at RPO, or just how the game is going.
It's the new age offense.
Yeah. Ed Orgeron did the same thing with Joe Brady, who is probably going to get tons of coaching offers this year in the offseason. He might not even be there next year. Might be at Arkansas. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Really don't. But that's just kind of where it's at. But
well, one thing, you and I were sitting at lunch last week, and we were sort of going through Twitter and wondering about this Lane Kiffin, and actually what semi-sold you about Kiffin is you did look at his staff. Mm-hmm. And he surrounds himself with a good staff. Now, however, I'm not saying we want him, but you're saying that kind of thing.
Yep.
Like, if you get a good Les Miles, if you get a – and I don't know if I've said it on air or not, but I said Nutt is a lot like that too. Nutt is a good recruiter, good motivator, but the one thing that kind of cost him was his hard-headedness with not wanting to transition to the newer age of football on the offensive side. And, you know, you would want him to surround himself with somebody Lane Kiffin-esque on, you know, Joe Brady or whatever. So
If Houston Nutt wasn't so hard-headed, we would have been ahead of this curve. We really would have.
Yes.
We were on our pace. I mean, it was the wild hog, right? Darren McFadden was a thing for a reason. The dude was a dude, but the play calling helped. But the staff was, I mean, outside of having Malzahn, when you had David Lee out there, oof. That was some pretty shoddy play calling. I mean, they didn't know what to do with that. So if they were able to step back and let Gus have a little bit more, we would have been ahead of the curve. We just needed people to play nice. That's
neither here nor there.
Yeah,
but
I'm over it. Let's just get into picking some football games.
Let's go.
All right. So, like I said, it's Cupcake Week, and not a whole lot of marquee ones. So we will start off with 13th-ranked Michigan versus Indiana. Michigan is a 9.5-point favorite.
I don't like doing it, but I'm taking Michigan. Whatever. Don't talk about it.
Yeah, I got to go Indiana. I just want to see Harbaugh out of there.
It doesn't even affect us, but we just don't like him so much that just leave.
Yeah, exactly. Moving over to the Big 12.
Yeah.
Texas versus Baylor. Baylor's home. 6-point favorite after that. I mean, it was a great game versus OU.
It was a very good game.
I know.
I felt they should have stayed at 13. Don't really buy the fallen one, but neither here nor there.
Yeah. I mean, I do talk a lot of crap on Big 12, but hey, they usually turn out one good game a year that's just exciting to watch. You had that one with Texas Tech when Mahomes was there in Mayfield, right?
So, yep.
That was a heck of one.
And then Texas Tech we talked about earlier.
Yep. So we can go Baylor on this one because, you know, don't pick them Shorthorns. Makes it easy
Baylor.
For this.
And they're going to – Baylor will cover plus, like, 30.
Tom Herman doesn't even get off the field. Doesn't go back to Austin. Jordan –
he's taking the bus ride.
Jordan's bold prediction comes true. It wouldn't surprise me if Texas pulls through. I'm just saying. I mean, they're one that gets antsy.
They're pretentious, entitled assholes over there, so, yeah.
But moving to the only top 25 matchup, and it is a top 10 matchup, we got Penn State versus Ohio State in the Horseshoe. 18.5-point favorites Ohio State is.
I don't think Ohio State covers. I hope Penn State, because Ohio State's kind of right there with Texas with me of how much I hate them. And Penn State will cover, and fingers crossed, they knock Ohio State off their high horse.
Right. I'm going to go Penn State on this one as well. We might go same here, but hey, that's the nature of it. I'm pretty sure you've got me beat this year anyway.
Oh, I'm killing it. Don't worry about it.
I mean, you started off great. Done ending better on the last few weeks. But last, your Arkansas Razorbacks, prime time in Death Valley versus LSU.
It's So much disrespect.
42.5 point favorite, LSU.
There's no way Arkansas doesn't cover that.
Correct. We hope.
It might be 41.5.
Might be 41.5.
They will not lose by 43 points.
Fair enough.
And if they do, I'm watching them next weekend.
Exactly. I will still be in War Memorial Stadium. Bulletproof vest on and everything. Love you, Little Rock.
There is the shot of the week right there.
Oh, man. But, yes, Arkansas on that one. For those that are keeping score at home.
Jordan's winning.
Yeah, there's that. What you got for us, man?
Well, I just kind of wanted to reiterate about the women's basketball. I'm excited that me, you, and Luke get to do that together. It's been a lot of fun. We've been learning a lot there as media members, and looking forward to giving the listeners some insight on the women's basketball because they will be kicking ass this year.
Yeah, they are doing that right now. Definitely looks like they will continue that. It's a, like I said, great atmosphere, great family fun. Go out there, you know, hit up a game or two. They've got the Sunday games. They've got nice 7 o'clock tips in the midweek. I think they've already done their elementary game, so you might miss out on that. But go support them. They are playing their hearts out and doing it up. Just doing it up. They are tearing it up.
Yep.
Soccer team, they fell short. They fell in Utah today. But one heck of a season. They've got a great program there. So shout out to the soccer team as well. Anything else for us? Hit us up at JRD Hogcast on Twitter. You can hit us up for text or call. 3-minute time limit for you, Andy, here. 479-308-8605. You can hit us up on the voice line. And until next time, and as always, woo pig suey. You'll see a little pride on my face. Cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl won't be home.